You are listening to King's Speech.
Hello, hello everyone. It is the 26th of January 2015 and it's a Monday. You are listening to the weekly broadcast. Should probably make it weekly nowadays, shouldn't I? Today I had the day off work, so doing this podcast at home. It is actually Australia Day today, but we'll get back to that later on. How'd you like my intro? I figured I'd put it in an intro, because it's what seems to be popular amongst YouTube videos, podcasts, and just anything that people go around and show their content, I guess. But I don't like, why do people do intros? I've always asked myself that, like, why am I bothered to look at someone's intro when I want to? If I wanna watch a guy just rant, pick up girls, I don't wanna go through 30 seconds of intro. Do you know what I mean? I just go straight into it. But I don't know, I think it's something to do with just showing people who you are, you know, and then that is your video, that is your podcast, that's what you made. And the logo that you made is associated with that, I guess. But it's like one of those things when you just can't be bothered just going, you know, having to, like, sometimes intros are ridiculous, I think. You know, they go on and on and on for like a minute. It's insane. Well, some people have horrible music, just like mine. I basically just, like, searched up I just searched up intro music that's free, and pretty much downloaded it and attached it to the beginning of these podcasts. It's pretty easy. Just simple, I guess, but I don't know, it just kind of reminds me of movies as well. Like, some movies, man, they go on forever. They really do. The introductions, like, okay, well, first of all, with the YouTube videos, you know, me being me, as you know, I really like watching YouTube videos, but I just can't stand, you know, having to, like, wait through, you know, it's a waste of time, right? It's a waste of time. Just like, yeah. So basically what I do from now on is, as soon as I click on someone's video and I know they're going to be a freaking huge ass intro, I'm just going to skip right through it. Just going to skip right through it and, just get to the important stuff. You know, like, there's a lot of things like, oh, you know, prank gone wrong, or, you know, or a fight breaks out, or, you know, some sort of dramatic stuff that people like to watch on YouTube these days. You know, well, you know, gold digging and, you know, and racism and homeless people. That's a trend. That's basically the trend. How you get viral these days is basically just make a video on how, you know, and how unentitled homeless people are, and how nice-hearted and well good-hearted the homeless people are, and or how, you know, women are just all gold diggers and crap, or, you know, it's just a fight here and there, fight, prank this, prank that. That's just basically how you get a viral video nowadays, I think, which is fair enough because people like to see that stuff. There's no more innovation though, I think, like, but anyway, I'm going off a bit off track, talking about intros, ain't I? So yeah, I wanted to talk about intros. So it just reminds me of this guy, actually. He sort of gets what I mean. There's a dude on, YouTube, and he's one of those, he's pretty viral now. Like, he gets a lot of views. You know, he makes a shit ton of videos, and they're great. So what his channel is, it's called CinemaSins. So, as in, like, cinema and then, you know, the sin, you know, S-I-N. So these videos are just, they're basically everything wrong with, you know, the movie that he chooses or the fan chooses. So he's got a bunch of movies that he just completely like shuns down, you know. It's funny. It's really funny stuff. He just comments on them and then makes a huge ass mockery out of them. I don't know the guy's name, but he's got a big fan base at the moment. So there's CinemaSins, right? And so he's done movies like, you know, the Batman movies and, you know, the Marvel movies, Iron Man and all that. Just basically the big name blockbuster movies. And there's one like, you know, sin, I guess, that he always brings up in his videos, and it's the logos. Basically, it's the logos. It's Paramount Pictures, Fox, you know, Universal Pictures, you know, Dimensions, and all those, you know, all those film productions. They take forever. They just come, all the studios and stuff, they just, one after another. Just studio after studio after studio after studio. They just keep on stacking on top of each other. And I think like Transformers or something, it took like 3 minutes. So yeah, that's basically 3 minutes. 3 minutes of just looking at logos being flashed at your face. And the guy who's commenting, obviously, he hates that shit. Yeah, I mean, like, just think about it the next time you go in the cinemas. How long you have to wait until you actually get to the material you paid for. Like, you still have to wait for all the, you know, all the fucking trailers. All the trailers that you could just watch on YouTube. I mean, yeah, it's nice seeing them in cinemas, but, like, I don't know, it's 20 minutes, and it's just, like, sort of deceiving in a way. I mean, you go into the cinemas to watch a movie, and, alright, sweet, it starts at 11:30, okay. You go in at 11:30, oh, shit, the movie still hasn't started. 20 minutes later, already 20 minutes in. So you think, oh, yeah, most movies, they finish, you know, 2 hours later. So, like, whatever you have a plan for after that is kind of ruined, do you know what I mean? Like, you might be late. You know, like there's so many times when I was late for work, or because I used to work casually. It was just so many times that I just had to cut the movie short. Like the last 20 minutes I'd have to cut short because I forgot that there was going to be trailers. Like you don't really think about that. You know what I mean? Like you think, oh, 11:30 it starts, so it's going to finish at 1:30. But no, it actually ends up finishing at 2. Like, but yeah, so, and again, just like waiting for ages just to get to the actual material, it's kind of tedious, if you think about it. Just got a text message, but anyway, so, like I said, basically, whenever there's a chance for me to skip, so obviously I'm in the cinemas, I won't be able to skip, but like when I'm playing games or video games, or like when I've got a video, I've downloaded a movie or something like that, watching something on the Blu-ray, I'll just like skip the first minute or 2 minutes of logos, just get straight into it, basically. I think it's a real, what's that, like a gimmick kind of thing. It's not needed, you know. I mean, you know, what, like 50, 60 years ago, they actually had the credits at the start. I mean, how can you, people leave, that's why, that's the best thing about nowadays, is they actually leave it at the end, right? The credits at the end. But sure, like, you know, the production team wants you to know who made the movie, but, like, we couldn't be bothered reading all that shit. I mean, yeah, it's great. I mean, they should get the credit, that's true. But leave it for the people who just want to know who made the movie. Like, sometimes I want to know who was the stunt coordinator. I want to know who the director was. I want to know who was in the, you know, in the stunt team. You know, things like that. But I'm not going to do that for every movie. So I'm not going to wait. Like, you know, in the 1940s movies, like Gone with the Wind and all that. With the wait at the start, all the credits rolling for like 10 minutes straight. I just don't think it's necessary, honestly. So, but like I said, to conclude, I think it's the best thing to do is to keep introductions short. Get straight to the point, man. There's so much stuff nowadays. It's insane. There is so much stuff to watch. We got the internet, we got media outlets going nuts. And I just want to go from one to another to another to another, just like sort of quick, just get to the point. You know, if I see some dude get knocked out, you know, on the street, oh, dude gets knocked out after he caught a dude a nigger, you know what I mean? I want to see it. Like, I just want to see the moment, you know? So that's why a lot of guys nowadays actually say, they actually put stuff on their videos. They say annotate, you know, the annotations. They got annotations, and you can click on it. And when you click on it, it says, you know, click here to skip to the fight, or click here to skip to, you know, whatever I'm talking about in my title. So, so with videos that have a lot of like dislikes and stuff, they generally, they got a lot of dislikes because it's got nothing to do with the title. That's basically it. So you could have like the worst video. Like, it could be like completely boring video, you know, but as long as it's, you know, it matches the title, it won't get dislikes. You won't get shunned down. You know, you get likes actually. You know what I mean? So for example, if I was to upload the most boringest teacher, you know, in the world, right? And I actually have uploaded a video like that once. I filmed a freaking classroom teacher. It was absolutely shit. It was a physics teacher back in year 12. But, yeah, I didn't get any views at all. But he was really boring, right? He was really boring. And say you upload that video and you title it, oh, the greatest teacher ever. You're going to get heaps of dislikes. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not, right? Unless the audience can understand your sarcasm. Yeah, it's just, you're not going to get any, you're going to get any likes, that's it, you know. But if you've named it something else, you name it, oh, the most boringest, or don't watch this guy's boring, or do you know what I mean, and do some like reverse psychology shit, people are going to watch it, and they're going to look at it like, oh, wow, this guy's really boring. You're right, this video is I understand this guy's, you know, point of view, and then they'll tick it, they'll like it. So that's basically how it works, you know. And and videos that are deceiving in a way, like, oh yeah, racist fight breaks out or something, and there was nothing to do with racism whatsoever, it will get heaps of dislikes, it will get shunned down. So that's basically that's what I think about the videos. So I'm going off a bit tangent. Gone off on a tangent here, but anyway, like today I said, it's Australia Day, so we celebrate the first anniversary of, the first fleet. In 1788, of the British ships. So that's what we celebrate. And it's funny because it's pretty controversial actually. The whole history of Australia, and, people are like saying, you know, why are we celebrating Australia Day when it has a real dark history? And that makes sense. You know, it does make sense. You know, I would be surprised if, you know, Germans were celebrating, you know, some sort of Holocaust Day, you know, and they were celebrating the Holocaust or something like that, because that's how like Australians see this day, I think. Well, the other half of the Australians. So you got one half of Australians, or maybe a bit more, who actually don't give a shit, and they just go on and do their barbecues and drink their beers and have their parties and get trashed, right? And then the other half are those social justice warriors and all the fucking complaining, whiny bitches who just sort of go, oh, why are we celebrating this day? It's Invasion Day, and it's commemorating the dark history of Australia and killing of Aborigines and the taking over of Australia. And I mean, yeah, that's true. That's true in a way. It is. Like, I'm just thinking about the Australian Open at the moment. I should be watching that. Anyway, yeah, that's true. So yeah, I think we all do have a right to celebrate Australia Day. I mean, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that fleet. That is true. The fleet was what, bunch of full of just convicts, but still, it just led to this. So I think we do have a right. I mean, you can't just sort of. You can't just sort of prevent people from doing what they want to do. You can voice your opinion about it and sort of like alert people and sort of inform others on what actually happened on this day, the 200 and whatever years ago. Yeah, that's good enough. But I don't think it should be like abolished, honestly. So much has happened in Australia since that day. And it's something that is part of history, I think. A lot of countries get invaded, and they are today what they are. And I think, well, the Aborigines and the Indigenous back then, they didn't have an army, they didn't have, a defense system. They didn't have any of that. The technology was literally non-existent, as opposed to the British. So, I mean, in so basically, I know it sounds horrible to say they had the British had every single right as in terms of power to overthrow the Indigenous. It's life. It happens. I bet you it happens in the animal kingdom. It happens with us, and that's how we get here nowadays, but I think it's important to note that, and Australians do have a right. They've got the even the hillbilly Australians and the bogans. Yeah, Australia Day, mate. Yeah, you're gonna have a beer. They're walking around with their beers in their hands and stuff, and they bring a bad image to us. But I think it's okay. It's what makes Australia interesting. I'm not gonna have some sort of I don't want to be in some sort of country where everyone's just the same. Everyone just thinks the exact same way. And if you don't think a certain way, then you're labeled a fucking pig. You're labeled a what do you call it? An uninformed, ignorant. Bogan, who hasn't gone to school. Yeah, I just hate it when people just sort of tell you to go read a book. Like, what book are you talking about here? Or what a book that you wrote? Like, I don't even think books are that reliable anymore. I mean, anyone can write a book and get it published. They can publish it themselves, And at unis and schools, we all know that a lot of books are just bullshit. So I don't think it's I think people telling you to go read a book, they should go fucking read, they should go read themselves or something like that. They should actually maybe hear out your opinion and then sort of see where they go from there. I don't think just because you don't read a book, you don't read, you're stupid. I mean, people find out things from experience all the time. Like for example, you've got a lot of Aborigines and all that, the Indigenous around us. Like, what are they doing? What are they doing? A lot of them are joining gangs. A lot of them are sort of doing drugs and all that crap. And that's how we know them for. It's just like the same as Bogans. What are they doing? They're just sitting on their ass on the couch, getting fat, drinking beer, on welfare payments and stuff. It's just the same with them, it's the way of life. We stereotype, a demograph so that we can sort of feel a bit safer, I guess, it's just human life, I think. But then again, to conclude, I think Australia Day's fine. It's fine. You can celebrate it, Yeah, a lot of bad things happen all the time. It's just like saying, Oh, all right. Well, what about I can tell you for sure, my birthday in August, right? That day, I don't know, but I'm positive, 100% positive that a massacre or some sort of, some sort of dark, day happened somewhere in this world on my birthday. It could be 100 years ago, it could be freaking yesterday, you know what I mean? It could be like, 1,000 years ago on the other side of the world, but it still happened. It's not like, oh, I'm not gonna celebrate it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not gonna celebrate my birthday just because of that. It reminds me of the time when, yeah, it reminds me of the time when one of my sisters started arguing. I don't know why. She just started arguing with me, and she starts saying shit like, because we're talking about dates, right? And people's birthdays on dates, and I was telling her that I didn't feel like going to a funeral, right? I didn't really know the people. They were family friends. I didn't really know them, but I didn't want to go to a funeral, and it was on my birthday, right? It was the same day as my birthday, and I felt a bit weird. I'm celebrating the birth of my day. I mean, sorry, the day of my birth, and and they want me to go to a funeral, and my sister goes nuts at me. She goes, "Oh, cool, you're so insensitive and shit." I'm like, "I barely know these people, Trent." Anyway, so she tells me to go, and I'm like, "Well, I don't feel like going, I don't feel like going on my birthday," and then she, for some reason, she makes this point. She goes, "Oh, my friend. She's born on 9/11. Do you know how bad that is? But she still celebrates her birthday." I'm like, okay. She starts talking about 9/11, which happened in 2001, right? And she thinks that's like a dark day for her. Oh, didn't even happen in our country, So I think it's just overrated, the whole deal with you can celebrate it. You can celebrate stuff on a certain day. It doesn't matter what happened, 10 years ago or whatever on that day. It's just a day. Honestly, it's just a day. All right. No need to, get your panties in a twist about it. But like I said, Australia Day's fine. All right. And they're basically gonna have some fireworks happen and barbecues and drink some beer. Like, people don't even know. Like, don't even, like, kids, like, walking around with sausage, what do they call it? Sausage sizzles in their mouths. And they got the Coca-Cola in both hands, and they're just running around the backyard and playing cricket and all that. It's fine. I mean, they get together. It's a family type thing. I've always kind of missed that, because me and my family really never celebrate Australia Day, and I've always thinking, oh, I still see these things on TV. What are you gonna do for Australia Day? Oh, on Australia Day, we're gonna have a barbie, mate. And like, I kind of like, I've never really had that. Never really had any friends who sort of, celebrate it, and then really invited me to it and things like that. So I think it's all right. It's something that I would actually want to sort of engage in. I just don't think I have, like, the people around me give a shit. So, it's fine. It's fine. Anyway, so moving on. The Australian Open is on. And Australian Open is probably my favorite tennis tournament, okay? I don't know why. I mean, people say Wimbledon, US Open and all that. But I think the Australian Open is by far the best one. Whenever the Australian Open is on, except for this year and last year and probably the year before, I always have this good feeling inside myself. I don't know what it is. I don't know how to call it, but it's just a really nice, cool type feeling, and I get into that shit, man. Like, I'm watching it all day, all night. Seriously, like, even my parents watch it with me. It's fantastic. I absolutely love it. Well, I loved it. So, but this mainly happened during high school. Okay, because during high school, it's holidays, And it's the best time to have such a tournament, especially, you know, broadcasted so widely on TV. I think it's just a great tournament because you can sort of follow your heroes, you know, your tennis heroes on screen, and you're just sort of thinking, oh, he's going to win. Oh, Leighton Hewitt's to go up against this. Rafa Nadal's in the final with Federer and all that. Like, I think it's just really cool. You know, it's just a bunch of high quality, high performance players. All right, fuck the women. I don't care about them. But the guys, like, I think, like, it's just a nice feeling, like, just sort of seeing the, you know, the best, most elite players in the world get together and seriously just try and smash each other in this great game of tennis. All right, well, I thought it was great back then, so I would follow it every day or go for, like, I think it was like two three weeks, and it's during the summer, which I absolutely love. So it's during the summer, these guys are just going at it, and it's in 40 degree heat sometimes, you know, in Melbourne. And I don't know, it's just a cool feeling. Like, you come back from the beach and then you're like, oh, sweet, the game's on Rod Laver Arena. You go home and you watch it on Channel 7, and it's just a nice feeling, you know, like, you sort of have your day planned out. I'm going to watch this game tonight, and then the next morning I'll go hang out with my friends, and then, you know, and we'll watch the game together or something like that. You know, it's just a nice time to get together. I think it's the best time, when, especially during school holidays, you know. So, you know, my mom, she obviously on holidays as well, being a teacher, you know, so we had the same holiday period. So, but I think, now, in the last, I think 2 years, 2 or 3 years, including this year, I've literally not gotten into it at all. Like, I could not give two shits about it. I don't know why. I really don't know. Things have changed, really, like, it doesn't have the same, you know, like, we got a new TV, and when we got our new TV, I just stopped watching it. I don't know what it is. You know, I got a 55-inch LCD, LED, Samsung, and, I don't know, I just stopped watching it. Don't know what it is. It just lost its kick, I think. Or maybe I grew up. I don't know. But I'm kind of sad by that because I really want to get back into it. I mean, just then, actually, I just saw Kei Nishikori, Japanese player, if you don't know. He's, I could not believe my eyes, but he's ranked number 5 now. He's number 5 best male or best player. If you're male, then you're best, right? Best player in the world. Like, I could not believe that, because this dude just came out of nowhere. And I found out this dude has beaten Ferrer, right? David Ferrer from Spain, I think. He's beaten him 5 times, and he just beat him again. Right? And Ferrer's, ranked, 9 or something now. 8 or 9. I think that's insane. Like, this guy came out of nowhere. I always sort of, like, oh, this guy is, you know, one of the few Asian male players. You know, he's all right, but he was very mediocre. He won a few times. He won against, you know, a few good, great guys, but then he lost. Like, he never really progressed beyond round 2 in the tournament, I think. And now he's in the quarterfinals. Apparently, he was in the finals for US Open or something, or I'm not sure. I'll have a look, but it's just, I could not believe it. Like, he's ranked number 5. So, yeah, he was in the last year's US Open in the finals. And, well, he obviously lost. But, I mean, I think that's great. You know, it's really great because this guy's really young. He's really young. He's only 25 years old. I mean, I knew about him, like, 2-3 years ago when he was, like, you know, 22. So, for him just to progress so quickly, it just kind of astonishes me. You know, he came out of nowhere. Just started beating up the top 10 dudes, and now he's top 5, you know, it's amazing. So I feel like I kind of want to get back into it, the Australian Open. It was something that I always looked forward to at the start of the year, right? Well, actually, I looked forward to it at the end of the year, you know, like after the Australian, oh crap, 365 days left until the next tournament. It's just something about it. I don't know. It's in Melbourne. It's near us. You know, it's just like, you know, 10Ks from where I live. It's pretty sweet, I reckon. I want to get back into it, and I hope this guy does really well. You know, I'm counting on this guy, Nishikori. I don't know what it is, just the fact that maybe he's just like, he's Asian and I'm Asian. I think that's really cool, you know. There hasn't been a good, you know, decent Asian player since Michael Chang, you know, when he won the French Open. And was like 17 years old or something. I think it's really good, you know. I miss the times that I miss those insane matches where, like, you know, I think it was like Leighton Hewitt versus like David Nalbanian, from, I think he's Argentinian. I'm not sure if he's retired now, but he's not. I don't think he's in this tournament. But like they had like insanely awesome rivals. That's what I loved about it. Like, I don't like the sport itself, but I just kind of like, I follow the players, you know, because I think they're just so elite. And they're so determined, man. They want to win that prize money, you know? And that reminds me, like, the women, I can't watch it, you know? I mean, I have to admit, I fell in love with a few, you know, tennis players here and there, you know, the pretty ones and all that, you know, a long time ago when I was a kid. you have that, you know, every now and then crush. I think I had that, her name was like Daniela Hantikova or something. I think she was Russian, but I think I really liked her. Can't really recall anyone else, but I remember I really liked her. Martina Hingis, I guess. But like, I mean, they're just honestly, like, you don't watch it, you can't watch it for their performance. I mean, I was thinking about the times when I was back in high school, and the boys there, the boys who were the best of the tennis team, you know, they would, I think they had, I kind of felt that they had the same level as a professional female world-class tennis player, honestly. It sounds so sad because they're on, like, that's what I think, they're on the same level. I reckon some of the guys that I've known in my life could destroy Serena Williams easily. Like, the power that these guys have, we're just built differently, you know? We just move differently. You know, our physiological front functions are just completely different. You know what? I wouldn't even say different. We're just better. They're just better. And this is the reason why they group them. They have women's group, you know, they have the women's division and the men's division, just like they do in MMA, just like they do in boxing, every other, pretty much, you know, every other sport. But it just kind of like, it kind of boggles my mind how these women only play, like, they play three sets. Why? Do you know what I mean? Like, why do they play only three sets? And I keep thinking to myself, is it because their games are ridiculously slow and boring? Like, there's no power. They hit the ball like beginners, you know? I was watching Maria Sharapova. She was just hitting it wherever she could hit it, you know? And the men are a bit different. They sort of hit it, and they use their tactics to, and they hit it where they want to hit, to win the point, you know? They actually go for it, and they go for that, they risk that point. But the women, they're sort of just like, oh, I'll just hit it back and forth until someone makes a mistake, you know? And I think that's just rubbish. That's not the way to play a match. You know, it's kind of like boxing, you know, you sort of just keep your hands up, block, 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 just block every single punch, and then sort of jab, 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 and just sort of wait for someone to make a mistake, and hopefully, like, you get the decision, you know. I mean, like, that's what sports are like these days, you know, it's just all about safety. It's all about safety, and I think, they only play three sets, you know, so basically they're, at most, their matches go on for about an hour and a half. All right, okay, get this. One match I saw when I was a kid went on for 5 hours, right? Okay, I've even heard of matches that go on for 7 hours, you know? They're not female matches either. They're matches, you know, played by men. And it just gets me thinking, like, these guys are like giving it their all in like one, you know, this long ass time frame, and then they have to play again the next day. Doesn't that take a lot out of them? Do you know what I mean? Like I know like men recover easier than women, but still, I don't think it's fair. Given that they both get the same prize money, you know what I mean? So, guys play like 5 sets, you know, 5-6 hours they play sometimes. They play like absolute battles, man. Like Leighton Hewitt. Now, I don't like the guy, but man, I respect it, dude. I really respect that guy. I think he's one of the greats of Australian tennis. I think he's one of the best ever in this whole country. The dude's been playing since I was in year 4 or something. So that's like what? Like that's like 15 years, you know? Yeah, it's like 15 years, you know? That's a long time the dude's been playing. And he's still going at it. So it just gets me thinking, you know, they go to the finals and then, you know, the women play in the day. Why do they play in the day? You know, because no one wants to watch them play. And I know this for a fact as well. You look at the ticket prices and the female ticket prices to get into their matches. It's like, I think it's a third of the price for men's. So say, for example, Serena Williams versus like Sharapova. That would be, so say that's like $100 to get in. The men's final, say Rafael Nadal versus, you know, Roger Federer, would be $300. So what does that say? These guys are making more money. They're making way more money off the men's matches. That's true, right? However, the guys don't get paid 3 times as much as the women do. And I don't think that's fair. You know, like it's simple mathematics. You know, if someone's making 3 times as much off you than someone else, then you should get 3 times as much back as that other person. You know, it's just simple. But it isn't the case. And not only that, these guys go out more and more and more. They risk more injury as well. I mean, if you're on the field for like, what, you know, 5 hours, right? 5 hours, that's like 300 minutes, yeah? So if you're on the field for 300 minutes as opposed to 90 minutes, that's three times more the guys are out there on the court. So there's 3 times more likely they're going to get injured as well. I mean, it's simple, you know, and guys get injured all the time in tennis. They all get injured, man. Like, it's very common. It's very common for a top player to get injured and not be able to continue. And it just completely destroys his chance of winning the prize money and building up his reputation and, you know, and building up his trophy, you know, trophy room and everything, you know, and that's what these guys want to do. So I think it's ridiculous how, you know, how the system of that works. And it's not only the Australian Open too, it's the Wimbledon, the US Open, the French Open, you know, and all the other ATP tournaments as well, I'm guessing. So it's ridiculous, I think, but I don't know what I can do about it. It's not like I can, I don't know. I don't know if anyone else knows about this. So hopefully you've been, you know, well informed. But yes, and not only that, I think it's something I heard about how when someone has less time in the court, they've got more time to enter the other divisions, such as mixed doubles or single doubles, right? Single sex doubles, right? So, you know, mixed doubles is when you're with the opposite gender and then you play against someone who's a man and a woman. So it's just like a couples versus a couple, right? So they got more time to play that, and they play 3 sets, right? It makes sense, right? Because no one watches doubles. Everyone watches singles, okay? That's the most popular one. And they got, like, you know, doubles for, like, just, you know, girl and a girl versus another girl and a girl, you know? So they got more time to do that, right? And it's true, they do. If you look at, like, Serena Williams and the top, like, all the top, like, Sharapova, you know, all the top female players, they all end up getting way more matches than the men do. Because the men are fucked. When they go home, they're fucked. They're completely fucked. They're too busy in their, you know, tub of ice trying to recover from that, you know, from that intense 5 hours that they just had. So I think it's really important to note that. But time's running out. It's been 40 minutes, and hopefully you've enjoyed it. Peace out.